He is the author of The Fix, has been on this program on numerous occasions. Declan Hill is with us. Declan, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How about yourselves?
Excellent. You are prepared to break some new ground with some new news. Fixing is not going away in soccer, even though it's now been acknowledged by the governing bodies around the world. But it has certainly come home to roost. Tell us what you know.
Yeah. There's a roster of dodgy, suspicious, in my opinion, and some experts, international experts, fixing in Canadian soccer in the last few weeks here in Southern Ontario. This is big, big news. We had a case, you guys remember, over the last few years of a game in Quebec two or three years ago, cropping up in a German court. But these games were occurring this summer. And this is confirmed from a number of different sources. And I wish what you were saying in the intro to the question was accurate, that officials around the world are taking this seriously. International officials are taking this seriously.
Right.
Unfortunately, I've been on the phone for the last 2 weeks trying to get Canadian soccer officials to take this seriously, or heck, even comment, even talk about what they're doing to prevent this from happening. No dice. No dice. It's a shame in two ways. It's a shame because this story broke for me a couple of weeks ago when I received calls from Asia. A Malaysian bookmaker and a pro gambler and a number of other guys were phoning me saying, you know, we're getting all this information about Canadian Soccer League games being fixed in June, July, and the last one was beginning of August. Is it possible that Canadian soccer players, Canadian teams, a Canadian league would be implicated in something like this? And, you know, I had to laugh. I said, look, guys, you know, really, the reputation of this league, the reputation of Canadian soccer is rapidly going down the tubes. However, I didn't take that story all that seriously because, as you guys know, the sports gambling world is host to many rumors, host to many things. Until I got a very significant phone call from an old colleague and contact, Andreas Kranich, from an organization called Sport Radar. Sport Radar is used by the world's biggest soccer organizations, European Soccer Association, UEFA, Major League Soccer to the south, a plethora of different leagues. And these guys use their monitoring system to discover when matches are being fixed. Heck, even the police use these guys to discover when games are being fixed. When I was in Greece, Sports Radar executives were being put on trial, but they were being used as expert witnesses. The reports were the basis of police investigations. They found the same games that the Asian bookmakers were talking about. I didn't reveal to Andreas Kranich what games they were. He told me independently it was the same games. They submitted their findings to the Canadian Soccer League. In Europe, these guys get police investigations based on this kind of report. They certainly get UEFA, Michel Platini, all these senior European soccer officials to take these things seriously. I confirmed this last week with the Canadian Soccer League. They did not return even their email.
Declan, just for context here, for people listening to this, because yes, a lot of people are going to listen to this, say Canadian Soccer League, they know about the MLS teams maybe in Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal, but the Canadian Soccer League would be obscure to many Canadians, maybe even most Canadians. And the question they would ask would be, why would anybody bother to fix a game in a league that we even barely know exists outside of the hardcore soccer community?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm sorry, I'm so absorbed in this story and it's part of my life now that I forget that needs to be explained. What's happening in sports gambling is the same kind of issues that affected the music industry and the travel industry. There's been a globalization, an explosion of sports gambling, specifically and most dangerously to sport over in Asia. And Asian bettors are massive. They're a billion strong. They're the largest liquidity. They're the largest betting market in the world. And they've effectively given up on their own sports. There are very, very few sports that they continue to bet on in the Asian leagues. And so now they transfer all that cash and all that interest around the world. They really love their soccer. They love betting on soccer. And during the summer months of June, July, and August, when the big European teams aren't playing and the leagues aren't working, little smaller leagues like the Canadian Soccer League become huge targets for these gambling rings. Now, there's nothing wrong with sports gambling per se, but the fixers are looking at this going, hey, there are players in these leagues that don't get paid all that much money, and we can make an enormous amount of money fixing these small games in these small leagues.
With Declan Hill, the author of The Fix, how many teams are we talking about in the CSL?
I'm sorry, guys, the connection just dropped there.
How many teams are we talking about in the Canadian Soccer League?
Yeah, at this moment, I spoke with my lawyers earlier today. We can't talk. I'm afraid I can't talk on air about which particular teams. I'm still confirming the players, the people that were involved in that. But let me just state that they're here in and around the Southern Ontario region, and these things were going around this summer.
Without getting specific on the names of the teams or the individuals involved, can you tell us how many teams, how widespread is this?
Well, what we saw, I mean, let me go back to something that we're legally defensible on. We saw a network of corruption and criminality stretching from Hong Kong, Malaysia, Philippines, to Germany, to Croatia, and into Toronto the last time that we had legal documents. We saw a three-continent fix. We saw nine different countries, and we saw hundreds of thousands of dollars on a relatively obscure game. Those conditions haven't gone away. The only thing that's increased is our knowledge of what's going on. But the fact of the matter is, there's still nothing being done to protect this game. And this is a danger because it really is the Canadian Soccer League. These kind of games are really one step up from our community games. I mean, these are not big games. Mm-hmm. And if we can fix those games, heck, you know, where does it stop?
And again, Declan, the red flag here, yes, for investigators is the betting patterns. It's not, well, look at this result. How could this team have beaten this team? Or an extraordinary scoreline. It's the betting patterns, correct?
It's the betting practices, and it's also some intelligence reports that are coming in to Sport Radar. Again, my hands are tied. I'm sorry about this. Legally, at this stage of the investigation, I can't talk about it. But I will go back to saying that if Sport Radar had generated a similar type of report in a European country, that has been the basis of police investigation. That has been the basis, you know, of very serious UEFA-style investigations, the same kind of thing that had Fenerbahce banned the Turkish League teams last week. These reports are the things that they use to figure out those fixes.
The Canadian Soccer League has been warned about the fixing of games and
yes,
have done, to the best of our knowledge, nothing about it?
When I spoke with them a number of times last week, I said, look, what have you guys done to prevent this? And their response was, well, we haven't done anything because the Canadian Soccer Association hasn't asked us to do anything. So I put the same question to the Canadian Soccer Association. They refused to say anything at all. And I phoned around the Canadian soccer community trying to find what the Canadian Soccer Association had actually done, whether there was an integrity officer, whether there's an education program for players and refs, whether there's a hotline. Because at this moment, if you don't have a hotline, if you don't have a way of reporting this kind of thing going on, why would you do it? I mean, if you're being threatened, if you have a certain presence of danger around you, and there's no easy way to report this kind of activity going on, it's very, very difficult for players and referees to take a serious, credible action.
I don't know if you can talk about this or whether you even
yes,
know. If the genesis of this is coming from Southeast Asia, what's the process by which you get to the players or officials here in Canada? I mean, you can understand if a game in and I'm going to just throw this out there as a hypothetical.
Yes.
If a game in on mainland China is fixed, and the fixers are on site and the gamblers are on site, that sort of makes some sense geographically to me. If you have this infrastructure that exists on the other side of the world, how do they lure these athletes into the web here in Canada?
Well, it's a connection. It's a network that goes, as I said, between three continents. So you're very unlikely to get a Chinese match fixer coming to Canada and approaching a player. The cultural problems, the cultural, you know, even the linguistic stuff makes it very, very difficult. The players are going to look at this, you know, a person coming into the dressing room and just say, look, I don't know who you are. This is not what I want to do. So what's happened in the past is the Asian guys have formed links with local criminals, local European guys. So there was a network in Europe that fixed games in 9 different countries. One of those countries was Canada. And so those criminals hooked up with players that they could make deals with here in Canada. Now, I return to something I said previously on one of your programs. I went over and investigated and interviewed the German police officers that had done that original investigation, really had tried to stop that middle ground between Asia on one side and Canada on the other. And they said, we had 9 countries named by these men, convicted in a German court. 8 countries sent police officers here, sent people to investigate this, worked with us, and we were able to start something. The one exception has been your country, Mr. Hill, Canada. What's going on? And I'm dumbfounded that now, 2 years after I've had that conversation, still nothing has been done credibly or seriously or practically to stop this from happening again.
Declan, based on your, you know, and again, on your vast experience in this subject, in a league like the Canadian Soccer League, where the players are not getting, you know, particularly well compensated for their services, how many players do you need to fix a match and how much do you have to pay them?
Well, there was a meeting between a bunch of Asian bookmakers and some Croatian-German bookmakers and some other dodgy guys in a Viennese hotel room back in September 2008. And they asked that question, and they came up with a star rating. So a one-star fix, if they got the phone call over in Singapore or Malaysia with these local guys saying, hey, we got a one-star fix, that meant you just had the referee in on the fix. And then it went up through the ratings up to a 5-star fix where you had an entire team on the fix. So that's how sophisticated it's got for these guys. They'll say, listen, we've only got 3 players in on the fix, so we're going to call this a 2-star fix or a 3-star fix. So don't put as much money on the fix as you might do if it had the entire team. And so they hammered out the rules to these fixing, the way they would fix these things in this hotel room in Vienna.
How many teams are we talking about?
Maximum 2 or 3.
In the Canadian Soccer League?
Yeah. Worldwide, we're talking, tens, dozens. I want to say hundreds, but I don't want to exaggerate. This is too important a story to make any exaggerated statements. But in the European soccer countries, there are 53 in the European Soccer Association. In 47 of those countries, there are police investigations going on about this issue.
The CSA has done nothing so far. The CSL has said, we're not going to do anything until the CSA tells us what to do. Meanwhile, meetings that have taken place between Interpol and FIFA have essentially acknowledged that this kind of thing goes on. Is FIFA empowered in any way to force either the CSA or CSL to do something?
I think it's now in the hands of us as the media. We've just got to keep bringing these stories up. We've just got to keep working on this. And really, we've got to go directly to the police and say, look, we've got to stop this. Because to anyone that's not interested in soccer, I think the lesson is clear. If they can come over and fix a pretty obscure, let's face it, sports league here
Indeed.
In Canada, what are they going to do next? When are they going to start reaching into hockey? When are they going to start reaching into the sports that are covered in a much bigger way, that have a bigger gambling market over here in Canada? You know, when does that start? And so we really need to stop this now before it starts to getting entrenched too much into Canadian sport. And again, I'm not exaggerating it. I don't want to say that this is a vast problem in Canadian sports. However, we've seen it in Europe, where I made that warning 7, 6 years ago, that it has become a very, very significant problem in places like Italy and Greece and Turkey, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So we really don't want Canadian sport to go the same way as European sport. And so I think it's incumbent now on police officials and sports officials to wake up, smell the coffee, and say, let's put a stop to this.
Good of you to join us as always, Declan. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.